Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Real Estate University Podcast. My name is Grant Weist, and I am joined today by our guest, Mr. Matt Proctor from HomeLight. I am incredibly, incredibly excited to talk to Matt today about branding and visibility and some of the different things that HomeLight does in the real estate world. Matt, thanks so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, Grant. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So let's just dive right into this. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? How'd you get to where you are today? And tell us a little bit about HomeLight.
Sure. Happy to. So my name's Matt Proctor. I am the head of content here at HomeLight.com. HomeLight is a service that matches home buyers and home sellers with top performing real estate agents in their area. So basically what the company does is we collect data on every real estate transaction in the United States, and we use that to compare and contrast agents on their performance. And when a customer comes to us and says, hey, I need a great agent for selling this property, or I need a great agent to help me buy a place, we match them with agents who perform really well based on the statistics that we have available. So that's what HomeLight does. And so then I head up our content team. I have been doing content marketing and SEO for the last 10 to 12 years, I suppose. I got my start by, I was a copywriter, so I graduated from Florida State with an English literature degree and started copywriting back in like 2007, and fell into an online community of people who were doing, they were building blogs and building websites using SEO best practices. So they were doing like keyword targeting and link building and stuff like that. I fell in with them, built a lot of different websites. Then I kind of transitioned into advertising in the agency world. And so since then, I've been doing a lot of consulting. So I consulted for, a lot of Fortune 500 brands like Nike, Tiffany's, Ben & Jerry's, all that kind of big players. And then I joined HomeLight about 2 years ago to basically kickstart their content marketing department. So before I joined, HomeLight really wasn't doing anything in terms of content. And so I joined to kind of build that from scratch and grow our inbound marketing channels. So like SEO, social media, email, all that stuff.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Hopefully, we just had a gong go off in our office. So hopefully that didn't, hopefully you guys didn't hear that. Maybe it wasn't as loud as I thought it was. Hopefully it didn't startle anybody. But my apologies, Matt, if that got you. We appreciate you kind of diving in though and telling us a little bit about yourself and giving us a little bit of insight into your backstory. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, happy to help. I mean, I know we're talking about how agents can make better use of their online presence and get more leads from online marketing. So I wanted to make sure that they knew, that I know what I'm talking about to some degree.
Yeah, there we go. You're not full of it, right? Well, I'm sure a company like HomeLight wouldn't make you their director of content if you didn't know what you're talking about, right?
Hopefully not. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about this, because I think the two worlds kind of collide beautifully. How does HomeLight go about distributing content, about branding, about attracting buyers and sellers? And then we could talk about kind of, performance matching and stuff like that. But, a lot of what I always tell everybody, business is business, marketing is marketing, sales is sales, branding is branding, right? So the same principles apply no matter what it is that you do. So I just think it'd be very interesting from a lead generation perspective to kind of hear your side of what HomeLight kind of does to attract clients.
Sure. So we do a lot of work to attract clients to us. My department focuses on, of course, we focus on SEO and social media and email. But as an organization, we do a lot of national ads. So we run a lot of television. I don't know if you've seen us on, you know, CNBC, CNN. We've got a lot of television ads running right now because real estate is kind of a, you know, it takes a while. You know, you're not going to convince somebody right off the bat to sell their house. And so we want to be top of mind. And so television is kind of that top of mind activity where we try and just be there when people are watching, so that they'll remember us when they need a real estate agent. So TV is big for us. We do a lot of paid AdWords. So we do, you know, SEM is a huge channel for us because as people are looking for agents, the first thing they do when they think about, oh, I need to sell my house or, oh, I need to buy a house, is they turn to Google. And so Google and Bing and the major search engines are huge traffic drivers for us. And we do as a lot of work to try and, you know, optimize our campaigns there from an SEM and an SEO perspective. We kind of work in tandem there. And then we've started to get into some Facebook advertising that's started to kind of ramp up a little bit. And then we do a lot of work with partnerships. So we have a whole business development and partnerships team where they're going out to other companies and trying to work out some kind of collaborative arrangement with them. You know, they promote us, we promote them, we kind of build products together with them and kind of cross-pollinate and cross-promote that way.
Really cool. Really cool. I appreciate the kind of some of that insight. I have a couple questions. Okay. So there's a lot of competition in the real estate space. Everybody's competing for attention of the home buyer or home seller, like everybody, right?
That's true.
What are some things that you believe real estate agents can do to stand out a little bit more uniquely? And I'm sure you have some great advice here. And, you know, for those of you that are listening to this, you've got major companies out there like, and I'm not saying HomeLight's not a major company. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's Zillow and there's Trulia, there's Realtor.com, and there is Redfin, and there's all these big companies in HomeLight that are all competing for attention. And so I'm curious, you know, Matt, what is your take on this? How can an agent, when there's so much noise, stand out?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So it is a very competitive space out there. And you're absolutely right. There are some giant gorillas that we're competing with. I'm actually competing with them on a regular basis. You know, I look at Zillow and Realtor and Redfin, and I see how they perform, you know, how they rank on Google. They kind of dominate a lot of the keywords that I'm trying to rank for. And I'm sure all the agents out there are thinking the same thing. Like, how do we compete with this? And so if I was a real estate agent working today, and I think we have similar problems because I'm trying to, in many respects, HomeLight wants to serve as a kind of advertiser for the agents. And so we're kind of like aligned in that way. We have profiles on our website for agents out there that if you wanted to see your stats, you can go to homelight.com. You can take a look at your agent profile and you can customize that and, you know, add content to it. And so anyway, if I was an agent, the first thing I would do is try and control my online reputation. And so the thing to recognize there is that Google is the number one place that your reputation exists, right? You do not exist if you're not on Google right now. Like, I mean, that's kind of a blunt way of saying it, but they have such a huge control of the market share and of the mind share. And, you know, if somebody wants to find an agent, they're going to go there first before anything else. And even if they see your name on a billboard somewhere or on, you know, in a magazine or at a grocery store, they see your ad, the first thing they're going to do is Google your name, right? And so the first thing I would try and do as a real estate agent is really own that space, right? If I would be, constantly tracking what is ranking for my name and how can I control the narrative there and how can I make sure that my, you know, my stuff is up at the forefront for my name and my area. And so a couple of different things you can do there, right? You got to control all of the various platforms that rank already for your name. And so you want to create custom content on Zillow, on your Zillow profile, on your Homelike profile, right? We're starting to, we rank on a lot of agent names because we have these agent profiles. And it's a big way that we drive traffic. And one thing, you know, we always tell the agents that work with us is that the better your profile looks on our site and on all these other sites, the easier it is to convert your leads, right? The more people are going to want to work with you because they kind of, they're doing comparison shopping out there. They're looking at your profile on LinkedIn. They're looking at your profile on Homelite, and they're using your online, you know, profiles to kind of determine, should I work with this person? And so that would be my first step for sure to, I would want to control those, all those platforms. So make sure, if I just listed them out, make sure that your Google business page is completely custom and looks really nice. You've got high def pictures. You've got your, like, you know, as much information as you can provide on there. Make sure that you have your own website optimized for search so that people can find you, that you've got your contact information. You've got a ton of information about you and your experience and your, you know, performance data, which you can get on Homelite. And then I would go to homelite.com, make sure that your profile on Homelite is optimized, you know, give it a custom bio, make sure you've got the right, you know, that your transactions are uploaded and up to date so that we can actually deliver, you know, accurate information about you. And then go to Zillow, go to Realtor, go to, you know, I guess you have to work for Redfin if you, want to get on there, but I would just basically like do a search for your name and pick all of those platforms that rank on the first page and make sure they are completely custom content. Make sure that they show you in a really good light and that they really serve to convince customers that you know what you're doing and that you can serve them well.
All right. That would be the first step. Awesome. Awesome. So I'm taking your advice, Matt. I've gone to Google, I've searched, and now I've polished up my profile as far as the Googles are concerned.
Right.
But you said, make sure that you control the content, make sure that there's custom content. And so, you know, on a deeper level, what should I say? What type of content do I put out there to further help me stand out? Now that I've taken your advice, right, and I'm rankable, I've got people that are, you know, starting to get noticed. What do I give people? What type of content should I actually put out there?
Sure. So that's a tricky question because it's different. It's going to be different based on the particular agent that's, you know, trying to do this. But what I would say is, you know, first you got to think about your business as a product. So make sure all of your services are laid out. Make sure you've got client testimonials. You've got kind of like that social proof. You know, if you know your stats and you know your data, like put that out there too, that says like, I'm a top performing agent because of this objective third party says so. You know, if you've got awards, if you, all that kind of stuff, I would put that in kind of the, you know, products and services category. Make sure that is very clear and compelling. That sets you apart from the other agents in your area. Then if you're, I think what you're trying to drive at is like what kind of other additional content might you add?
Yeah, well, you made a comment, you kind of alluded to that, you know, every agent is different. And so I guess my follow-up question would be like, what's that difference?
And exactly. I think,
obviously I'm leading you like down a very specific path. I can't remember, I know the answer, so I'm sorry for that, but.
No, I know where you're going with it though.
Yeah, so, what's that difference?
Yeah, so if I was a real estate agent these days, I would go hyper local in my content creation. So one thing to realize about what's happening in the media environment. So we talked earlier about these like big giant conglomerate gorillas like Zillow out there who are, you know, national, they're producing a ton of content, Homelite's producing a ton of content, all these kind of national brands are doing this. What is really hard though for a national brand, and this is something that I struggle with all the time, is producing hyper local content, right? And so what does that mean? That's basically the advantage that the agents have is you live in your community every single day, right? So back before the internet, you know, or like early on, a decade ago, the big strategy for real estate agents was to get involved in the community, right? Like go to town hall meetings, go sponsor a recreational soccer league, like be active, get your face out there, kind of like if you're running for office almost, you want to just be super involved. And that's the same is true online now. So a strategy that I see working for a lot of real estate agents in terms of like what content they're producing is they're going extremely focused on their community and their market, and they're becoming the go-to source of information if you want to know anything about that particular area. So like I live in San Francisco, there's a lot going on in this real estate market, and it's kind of, you know, it's a big city, it's hard to make a name for yourself. But what I would love to see more agents doing is here is like talking about all of the amazing things to do in this area, like get really specific and then go to these events and show up and, you know, organize, you know, Facebook groups to get people to go to them. That kind of hyper local content can go a long way to set yourself apart, because the big national brands who maybe you're competing with them on Google, they have a really hard time competing with you on these very specific areas of expertise, right? If I was a real estate agent, I would want to have a Facebook group, for example, that, so in San Francisco, Marin is like the big luxury community, right? It's a lot of expensive homes. It's a very tight-knit group of people. I would want a Facebook group or maybe a thing on Nextdoor, and I'd want to be super active about everything that's going on in Marin so that every single homeowner follows my group and gets a lot of value out of following that group, right? Because then if I'm organizing a ton of activities in Marin, if every homeowner knows my name in Marin, I'm going to be the first person they want to contact if they decide to sell their home in Marin. And that gives me a huge advantage over like a Zillow who can't possibly organize a hike in Marin, right? That's going to be a bit too hard for them. But a real estate agent, you know, with some clever creative thinking can actually do that.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. Content around community is something that we try to preach when it comes to agents kind of marketing hyper-local. So I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's a great point that you make. Real estate agents today, you know, if you look at the doom and gloom side of real estate, believe in a large capacity that, you know, maybe their industry isn't necessarily as protected as it once was because of big data, because of these companies, these lead generation companies growing into these large conglomerates, kind of like you're talking about. But I'm of the firm belief that, you know, and I've said this for years, real estate agents won't be replaced by softwares. I firmly believe that real estate can only be leveraged against softwares. And, you know, I'm a millennial, right? I'm a younger guy. I am not going to go navigate one of the largest purchasing decisions that I've ever made in my entire life without speaking to a professional that knows how to kind of walk me through some of those steps. Now, softwares can grow and develop and evolve and become incredible. And in 5 years, who knows what type of artificially intelligent, Siri-like software we might have helping us through a transaction experience. But I think that nothing will be able to replace the agent's ability to build relationships, just like you just said, doing stuff like, you know, organizing a community hike. Real estate agents are thought to be one of the greatest connectors that exist in a local marketplace because they hold the key to buyers, right? If you look at companies like Amazon, for example, totally different niche, totally different product, but what Amazon wants are buyers. They don't necessarily like want to sell a specific product, right? They want buyers. They want people to come into their ecosystem and buy all of their products. So they will lose money to get buyers to come into their ecosystem. So they know once they have those buyers, well, they're going to buy their coffee. They're going to buy their non-perishables. They're going to, you know, since the acquisition of Whole Foods, they're going to start buying their food. They're going to start buying their radio. They're going to buy their TV. They're going to buy all of those different types of things. So if you look at that as a real estate professional and understand you kind of hold the keys to the kingdom in the local business community's mind, you really kind of gain some insight into just how powerful and influential you really are as a real estate agent. And that's something no lead generation company's ever going to be able to provide you. And even a marketing agency, say your marketing agency works directly with you. Say you got a marketing department. The only thing that your marketing department can help you do is maximize some of those efforts. They still can't necessarily replace them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, so that whole, you know, death of a real estate agent narrative is something that we actually deal with on a regular basis.
I bet.
And it's interesting because if you actually look at the market behavior, you know, with buyers and sellers and what's happening there, I 100% agree with what you just said, Grant, where the real estate agent, what's interesting is that the agent is becoming more integral than ever before, because at least on the seller side of the transaction, right? So on the buyer side, the internet makes a lot of the work that an agent might do, you know, it kind of puts that into the control of the consumer on the buyer side, right? Because I can look up listings, I can go browse a lot of different houses, I can do all that stuff on Google and on Zillow and these other platforms. And so that stuff that the agent might have done historically is being now given control to consumers. However, on the selling side, the agent is even more important, because I'm now, as a seller, I have to know how the internet works in order to sell my house today, right? And so the agent actually has a much more crucial role to play there, because as marketing on the internet and as kind of like getting your listing in front of buyers becomes more complex. Like a homeowner, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they've got other jobs to do. They don't have time to learn how to create the best listing profile on Zillow. Like I work in advertising. I don't even like creating Craigslist ads. You think I'm actually going to want to go create an ad for my house and I have like hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line? No way. I want to outsource that to a person who actually knows what they're doing, right? And so
I don't mean to cut you off, but what do you say to somebody that says that's all well and good, Matt, but these Gen X kids that are growing up, is it Gen X? No, it's Gen Z, right? These Gen Z kids that are growing up are growing up with tablets in their hands, and they're growing up trained to shop on Amazon. They're growing up trained to do things vastly differently than anything that we've ever known. So while me, a consumer, being a millennial, maybe even getting into just a tad bit younger than I am, I kind of understand the real estate process. But what do you say to these Gen Z kids that are growing up and the only thing they've ever known is to go through a device to do something? And this is futuristic, right? This isn't a problem we have to deal with right
now.
Yeah,
I mean,
just a curiosity. Obviously, it's a good intellectual conversation to have. But so I'm just curious, what are your thoughts?
I think my thoughts would be to tell the agents to embrace that, right? Like, I think technology is not going anywhere, and the agents that will do really well are the ones who take advantage, who like understand that behavior is happening and figure out a way to leverage it in smart ways.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. My good friend Lauren Taylor started Savvy Homes Portal, or Savvy House Hunting, and she helps agents, you know, add virtual reality to their business. How do you feel like that's making an impact in the industry, if any yet?
I mean, it's making it, I think it's not quite, the adoption rate isn't quite high enough yet to make a real substantial impact, from at least from my point of view, but it could, what I could see it doing, like virtual reality, it's all these ways to improve your listing, you know, and make it easy, reduce friction for the buyers, right?
Yeah.
So what's nice about the virtual reality stuff is that now that opens up my market of buyers to more than just the people who can walk into my door, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like now I can sell, you know, I can effectively sell my house to people in, you know, New York, even if I live in San Francisco, and they don't even have to tour the property themselves. They can buy it sight unseen because they can go through a virtual tour. So that's kind of, that's an interesting dynamic that I think as adoption rates go up and as people become more just mobile around, you know, they can move from city to city and change, you know, there's a lot more mobility happening. Like, I'm a good example of this. I don't know your background, Grant, but I think we're about the same age, but I basically lived in, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. Then I moved to Tallahassee for college. Then I moved to Boston. Then I've spent some time in, you know, New York, and then I'm now in San Francisco, right? So there's a lot of moving around happening, and it would be it would have been great to have a virtual tour of every rental property when I was trying to move from Boston to San Francisco. It would have been amazing to be able to just tour these properties, because we my wife and I actually had to fly out here for a week and frantically go to open houses to like see which place we should live in, and then we had to commit really fast because of the timing it took, because we had to get back on a plane to go back to Boston to pack up all our stuff and move. And so that would have been kind of much easier if the adoption rate of virtual tours was a lot bigger.
100%. Have you ever, well, that's a different topic. All right. So I kind of went on a couple tangents there, so I apologize. I know you're kind of in mid thought, but we're running, kind of narrowing down on time here. I appreciate a lot of the advice that you rolled out. I think it's incredibly practical, and I think it's incredibly simple for a real estate professional to, you know, simply kind of transition their line of thought to, you know, I need more transactions, to I need more influence. I need to, you know, create more community movements. I need to get more connected with local businesses. I need to get more hyper local. And I think that if you truly understand marketing and branding and all those things, you know, to the science of what it is, you understand that your first rule in doing all those things is, you know, figuring out who your customer is and what they like and what they don't like. And it, and then, you know, marketing is messaging. So you get to start kind of crafting your message in everything that you do around that type of ideal customer. So if you've listened to this podcast today and you're like, okay, what are some things that I could do? First and foremost, first rule of marketing is, you know, understand who your customer is. When you understand who your customer is, usually you understand that they're mostly like you. That's usually a fun realization that we get to see the light bulb go off. And then and put yourself in a situation to, you know, be yourself and brand yourself for who you are. You, in most any case, especially in real estate, are the brand of your business. And how are you doing that with, I believe it goes really deep into the car you drive, the way you dress, the stores you shop at, the places you buy coffee, the places you eat, that your tire guy, your banker, your painter, your lawn person. I think that it honestly, you know, if you really truly understand who your ideal customer is, you start making a lot of your decisions based on that of your client. So you can put yourself in a situation to be seen and heard by those people. But if you're looking for practical ways to do that, it's one of the simplest, most profound things I think you could do, is just understand who your customer is and realize that you're the message. Go out there and distribute it to the people that you know you want to do business with. Do you have anything to add to that, Matt? Agree, disagree?
I agree, though I do think that there's something to be said about, you know, I hear that advice a lot, because that's kind of like the beauty of today's world is that everybody can publish now, and you can, you know, just get a camera in front of yourself and film stuff. But I don't think that it necessarily has to be the agent in front of that camera, right? So one thing that I find interesting that's happening right now, going back to the kind of like hyper-local stuff, is a lot of the headlines in the news right now are news organizations are trying to, they're like figuring out how to make money these days, right? So you've got like papers in New York are going out of business. I saw like Condé Nast just like let go a bunch of people. And what you see across the like publishing industry is they're letting go the local reporters, right? So the local reporters can't, the like advertising model doesn't work for them anymore. But because you just can't get that many impressions, right? Like if you're just trying to show, if you're trying to pay for your content through ads, and impressions, you can't make that with, you know, doing hyper local stories about some neighborhood in, you know, Chicago, right? But a real estate agent actually can make money off of that kind of a kind of content. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be, you know, the quote unquote, like Instagram star yourself. But what it does mean is leverage your knowledge and expertise of the area, get involved in the community. Like, but maybe it also means like hire a journalist to do some local lies reporting, but it's all under your website, right? Like if you become the website that I go to for all the goings on in my neighborhood, then of course you're going to be the first one I turn to when I need to sell my house.
That's right? Really funny you say that, because I actually just saw this happen locally. There was a newscaster that had garnered a lot of local attention, and went out of journalism and into real estate, right. And kind of it was very unique to watch him take, you know, both worlds and combine them in a way that is, I believe, incredibly necessary. But it's funny you say that, because I did actually just see that happen with a local news reporter that went into real estate because of the influence that he had created.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a perfect example, right? Because the nice thing about real estate is a few leads can really pay off big and pay for the work to, like, hiring a reporter or hiring a local blogger to cover, you know, events in the area and put them on your blog and like go hyper local. That's not actually that expensive. You can pay for that with a couple of transactions, right?
To
cover your cost. Same with like running Facebook ads at a hyper local level. That's so cheap right now that you can basically cover your marketing costs with a few deals. And so the difference between, you know, the nice thing about that is that if agents think about it a little bit differently, you know, you don't have to just do the standard, like, you know, market analysis and, you know, most recently transacted homes, like most recently sold homes. While those are certainly crucial, like zero moment of truth kind of things where it's like, oh, if you get that story in front of somebody when they're about to sell their home, they're definitely going to call you, like definitely do them. But that's not the only thing you should be thinking about doing. There's a larger opportunity in the kind of like hyper local news, and the national media and just like the media business in general is underserving right now because their business model does not work for it. And so that poses, in my mind at least, that poses a big opportunity. And it's why a company like Nextdoor even exists, right? They're trying to fill that need. But I think the opportunity for agents is that, you know, you can really control that narrative. You can be in front of that. And you don't even have to, you don't have to create that content yourself. It doesn't have to be you in front of the camera. Well, it's better perhaps if it is, because then you get the kind of like facial recognition, but you can kind of, you know, outsource that as well and bring on writers and content creators of different types without breaking your bank too much.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Awesome, man. Well, look, I appreciate you again so much for jumping on here and chat with us. I brought a lot of value today. What if somebody's listening to this, like, all right, well, I'm going to check this Homelight thing out, or you know, I want to learn more about Homelight and some of their services. What would be the best way for them to do that? Maybe connect with you or connect with Homelight.
So if you're a real estate agent, the best thing you can do is go to homelight.com and claim your Homelight profile, and make sure that that has the most up-to-date information, make sure that it's accurate. And, we will work with you to make sure that you can kind of upload your latest transactions and, customize your profile to make it look really good. So I would definitely encourage them to do that. And then, yeah, I mean, so the way that Homelight works is it's based on your transaction history. So when a customer comes to us and says, I need to find an agent, we look at all that data in your transaction history, and then we match you with them. And so we tend to match like the top agents in those in the area. That's why customers are coming to us. But we need to have your most up-to-date information to really be able to do that. And so it behooves the agents to make sure that they're control, you know, they're uploading their transactions and keeping their profile up to date. So yeah, just go to homelight.com and you can claim your profile and sign up and, you know, go from there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, you guys heard it. Go to homelight.com, claim your profile and kind of start the process from there. We'll make sure that we link that below in the show notes. Matt, I appreciate you again one last time, man. Thanks for coming on and adding a little value to our community. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great conversation. Anytime.
Awesome. Well, again, guys, thanks. Appreciate you so much. Make sure that you go and rate us on iTunes and Google Play. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate U University Podcast. We will see you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.